There we have it. Marvellous stuff in all sorts of ways there. Honestly, there's the tension being mounted here. I tell you, we need to bring in the ace Australian that is Belinda Wannis to talk about the joys of cake making, etc. After we give her the weather, of course, highs of 16 degrees centigrade, lows of 12 degrees centigrade today. It's a cloudy day with occasional light rain, but with a few heavy bursts from that perspective, etc. Belinda, we've got the first ever Midweek Drive Morning Edition cake off in the studio here. And for a moment there, I thought we were going to have a riot on our hands. We sent Natalie out, who is one of the contestants, to actually take some photographs of the cakes to appear on Facebook and all the rest of the bits and pieces. And then suddenly Ian Mills, studio manager for the day, turns and says, somebody's trying to have a little taste at this particular moment in time. No! Sorry, Belinda, but you can tell, you know, tempers are getting raised here. The emotions are running high. It's like Eurovision, but even more exciting.
Well, certainly a day I wish I was in the studio with all these lovely cakes there.
Well, there we are, Belinda. You know, it's high time you returned to Lincoln to talk about that. Bellabouttown.com. How many features have you done on cake making or cake baking at this particular stage?
We've probably done half a dozen. Which usually include a recipe as well.
Yep. So. Actually, I think that's right. We really probably need to have the recipes from these fine folk as well. So,
absolutely, yeah.
That's very good.
So mine doesn't actually have a recipe.
That doesn't surprise me, Amy. You know, I just sort of sense why bother?
I didn't even have my scales because I packed them away. Right. So it's kind of like freehand.
Amy Elise is part of the gorilla making a cake scenario here. So Chris, this could be quite fun, really.
Well, I hope she washed her hands.
So that
was free.
Be quite heavy.
Sorry, Belinda, we missed that point. You know,
I said that one could be quite heavy. Then that cake, it may not have risen quite as much as the others.
Oh, well, yeah, they've all worked. So, I mean, Natasha, when did you start work on this?
I started about yesterday morning.
Yeah. Because I noticed.
Because I had work in the evening. So.
And of course, you also confirmed that you had actually released to Aaron Craig the recipe on Facebook as well. Now, people could say you'd already been trying to communicate with Aaron as a head chef to get some sort of initial points in there as well.
No,
really.
I hadn't. No? I just asked him, but I told him we're having a bake-off and said it would be great if he was in. Was talking to us for it. Yes. And then he said, so which cake are you baking? And so I told him my secret ingredients from there.
Where do you start, Richard?
This sounds like this sort of pot calling the kettle black.
This is quite extraordinary. Hannah, we know we can rely on you for total honesty, if nothing else, as well as answering. She'd been in last night, Belinda. She was in and out of the studio, getting those calls for our American correspondents. It's phenomenal. But anyway, when did you start making your cake, Hannah?
Last night, but I kind of finished this morning, which was why I was late to the studio.
An all-nighter. Well, that was very good. And Tiffany?
Yeah, I started last night after the show.
Because you hadn't even thought of doing anything until the show yesterday.
I wasn't thinking about it, but I picked up we had a last-minute trip to Morrison's as well.
Well, the supermarkets are available. Presumably that was for ingredients only.
We had an icing sugar disaster, Alex. Yeah. We couldn't find any icing sugar all over Morrison's we trekked, and then it turned out that they'd run out completely.
You see, that's the popularity of the first ever Midweek Drive Morning Edition cake bake-off, you see. Supermarkets in the area have even run out of icing sugar. How do you cope, Belinda?
Well, I think you have to just get royal icing instead.
Amy, we've heard, obviously, when you started, which was great, and last night, or this morning.
It was last night, I had a very busy day yesterday.
Exactly.
I had sailing and giving away my fish, which was all emotional for me. Yes, I had to hand them over to someone else, and it was all sad, and I had to pack my room up, and I had to make three... whilst making my cake, I was also making bolognese and chili con carne. So, you know, a lot of effort has gone into
it. Just let's hope the ingredients haven't sort of got mixed up. It could be an interesting cake.
Yeah. Well, you'll know which cake is is Amy's that way.
When your tongue's on fire, you know that's my one.
It'll be the interesting ingredient one. And Natalie, when did you actually start from your own perspective?
Yeah, last night after the show.
Right.
I think the bias here is everyone else has had more time than me. I think this is what we're going to go with here.
Actually, I mean, you knew about this competition a week in advance, Amy. You know, you could have prepared.
I even reminded you on Twitter yesterday.
Yes, but the thing is, this is my defence. The thing is, you can't go any earlier with a cake because you have to have it moist. So you can't, unless I got up like 4 o'clock this morning, I couldn't have done it.
Belinda, moistness and not tasting like cardboard have been the two sort of key things that our judges, I think, are sort of looking to go for. Have you got any advice you'd like to give Chris or indeed the rest of the judges about, you know, what would you be looking for if you were judging a cake baking competition?
Yes, well, I think I'd be looking for light and fluffy.
Yep.
And well, good that's moisture Amy. Levels.
Fair enough then. Quite light and fluffy and good moisture levels. That's technically all five, really. So that's very good. I don't think that is going to split. It's been a split of all sorts of things on that particular basis there, but still, never mind. Chris, only a matter of moments before you'll be leaving us to actually sort of go and sort of take part in the judging. Obviously, we're still waiting for the other two judges to arrive. Do you think they'd be fascinating? It's a crucial time here. It's, you know, history is being made.
Absolutely, I can't wait.
Ian Mills might well step in to sort of becoming a deputy judge taster. Your tactic, Natalie, of persuading, you know, Joy and company to actually sort of be elsewhere might be paying off. Anyway, I see he's brought the camera in, so that's always very serious. I feel, Belinda, we haven't mentioned Bell About Town as much as we should, but it's www.bellabouttown.com, the go-to website for time-poor, style-rich women.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think they should do a feature on the wonderful world of running Imp, actually, Chris. There we are. Shameless plug. Why should Bell About Town get sort of follow Running Imp Productions?
Absolutely. It's. I'm interested, Belinda, what are you going to be doing this weekend for the Jubilee?
As an Australian.
Well, first of all, I am having a Jubilee party on Saturday.
Good day, mate. Not a Barbie. Sorry.
No, not a Barbie. I don't know whether it's going to be good enough. I'm actually doing very traditional English food. So I'm doing cucumber sandwiches, I'm doing coronation chicken.
Yes,
I'm going the very traditional route.
It's wonderful stuff.
And having a garden party.
Oh, yeah. Just wonderful. Now, Amy may well be heading off down to the Antipodean area. When you're heading off there, Amy?
When I have money.
When she has the money.
I'm hoping about October time, after graduation.
The campaign to actually raise funds for Amy to go to... Whereabouts should she go, Belinda? You know?
Well, I think that everyone has to see Sydney. It's what everyone pictures when they think about Australia. So Sydney's got to be on the list. Other places I would recommend, it depends how much time you have, really, but far north Queensland and the tropics are very beautiful. Down on the south coast from between Melbourne and Adelaide, the Great Ocean Road, that's amazing. And Western Australia is incredibly beautiful if you have the time to get all the way over there.
I think that's sorted the thing out perfectly well. We're going off to Winnie Murphy from Bramham Horse Trial shortly, but Natalie, last two questions fell. Belinda Wannis, please.
Belinda, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us this morning?
I have indeed.
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
Hopefully so.
Did you enjoy the Swedish winner of the Eurovision Song Contest, Belinda?
One of the first times I haven't seen it.
Normally we discuss it.
Exactly, you've let us down. The weather was too good. I was at a barbecue. I'm an Aussie, come on. Barbecue came first.
Do you remember the name of the winner?
Absolutely not.
Please. Natalie?
No, I don't remember.
She's from Sweden. Laureen. Why can't this moment last forever? Tonight eternity's an open door. I love you, Baku! I love you, Baku! Well, they didn't do that in ABBA's day, but never mind. Sweden, winners of the 2012 Eurovision Song Contest. I'm not sure whether Winnie Murphy, you had actually said, well, that was obviously number one on my list of priorities whilst I'm sorting out the Bramham International Horse Trials. Clearly, the notion of the Eurovision Song Contest winner. How are you, Winnie?
I'm very well, thank you. I did watch Eurovision. I had a party with a friend of mine who was my bridesmaid, and we weren't keen on the song, but never mind. And we were very disappointed by the response to Engelberg.
Well, listen, at least we beat the Norwegian people, both at football and indeed the Eurovision Song Contest scenario. Britain can held its head up high by saying we came, you know, top of that particular battle between Norway and ourselves. Last year, the Bramham Horse Trials were won by a German. A German! Yes. It's just the first German, I think, winner of the whole event, etc. But it gets better and better each year. We've been looking at the website, bramham-horse.co.uk. Everything's geared up for another scenario. I mean, this is the sort of time where we're having a station cake-off for the first time in the studio. In fact, our other judge has just being arrived. If Natasha, you'd like to actually open the door so that Carolyn Williams can enter the whole arena of judging. As you can tell, Winnie, the tension is mounting high in the studio here for the Cake Bake Off competition. But Bramham is happening next week. Why is it the must-go-to event, particularly in a year where badminton was rained off? This is just going to be even more outstandingly wonderful.
I think this is going to be our best year ever. I mean, we say that most years, but because of the spring weather, we've really sort of had a bit of a terrible situation in the sport. And we've got lots of Olympic horses that have been without a run, but just ordinary people who want to get to that level for the first time. So the sport's been pretty much devastated. The governing body came to us and said, Bramham, how can you help? And we all scratched our heads and thought long and hard about what to do. And we've juggled the timetable, sort of had a bit of a sort of change around here and there. And we're going to run about an additional 105 horses this year, so over 250 in total.
Genuinely wonderful. Now, last year, tragically, I couldn't get to Bramham. This year, I think everything's sorted out. It'll be Hannah O'Brien's first delegated Southside and Siren FM reporting scenario, etc. for Bramham. I think we're looking to make it our week on Friday. Also going to be Natalie Tucker on the Sunday. So Hannah will be with us for the dressage and Natalie for the show jumping, I think.
You'll be lucky enough to have some cross-country as well on Sunday. This is part of the new timetable change. The CIC section are going to run cross-country, so she'll be lucky enough to catch a bit of that too.
Hey, that's great. Hannah, what are you looking forward to? Any questions for Winnie?
I guess my first proper, like, sights of a horse kind of competition like this would have been at the Nottinghamshire show.
The Newark and Nottinghamshire show. It's actually the first of the show season. Winnie, originally, Hannah, like Natasha, is from Gloucestershire and badminton is on our doorstep.
Yeah, I know lots of people who go to badminton, but I've never been myself. Just never managed to make it somehow.
So why can we actually thank the wonderful coordinators of Bramham for, again, producing such a... I mean, you know, I know it's... is it a three-star event?
Yeah, it rates as a three-star event. The eventing calendar goes from a one-star to a five-star. Five-star would be sort of Olympics, really. Four-star, something like badminton or Burley, and then Bramham settles nicely underneath as a three-star. And we're literally sort of a rung in the ladder. I mean, to win at Bramham is a huge accomplishment, but for a lot of horses and riders, it's their rung on the ladder to getting up to the top level for them. So Bramham's really important in that respect, but also it's a great competition for the older horses, just to keep them finely tuned, which is exactly what's going to happen for these potential Olympic horses that we've got coming.
Absolutely, it's a really exciting time. Tiffany Freeman had to leave us because she's off to the gym. Who knows whether she wins the cake judging competition? Well, it's amazing. Carolyn is already gearing up now, and Carolyn Williams takes no prisoners when it comes to judging cakes. I mean, there's all sorts of ways. She's avoided doing a live show with me for probably about 4.5 years, but we once did a pre-record, and she's doing wonderful stuff. She's just keeping a general observational eye out in the back of the studio. Natalie, you'll be joining us on Sunday for the whole package from that point of view. What question for yourself, really?
So I've never ever been to a horse trials. I've been to the horse races.
As you can tell, Winnie, we're continuing our educational experience here for our contributors.
I feel we've got a lot of hand-holding to do.
I feel like... So how important are these horse trials? Like, are people going to go to the Olympics that are going to be competing here? I'm not really up or down with their horse trials?
Well, I would say this year definitely. Like I said, because we lost badminton, which was probably one of the biggest trials for the potential Olympic horses, not just British, but we're talking a lot of other nations as well, because Britain is the heart of eventing worldwide. We have, there's nowhere else in the world has a calendar like we do. So I would say that there's probably a pretty good chance that a number of the horses people will come and see at Bramham, you will see at Greenwich Park at the end of July.
And, of course, Burley, it's too late. Olympics will have gone by then, basically. Yep, so it's pointless unless you've got a time machine. It's not going to work at all from that point of view. We mentioned, obviously, the courses. I mean, there's lots of things on the website, bramham-horse.co.uk, in terms of things you can actually find out, looking back over past winners and so on. It's nice to see that Nicola Watkin, a Yorkshire lass, is obviously in that, et cetera. And, of course, Pippa Funnel, always good for it from that point of view. I mean, lots of great riders taking part in this whole setup, et cetera. Lots of celebrities of the equine scene.
Yep, we've certainly got all those names. Nicola's actually bringing three horses this year, and one of those is Opposition Buzz, who's her top horse, who's a real firm favourite. He's a real character to watch, and that will be her sort of hope for the Olympics. Provided all goes well, I'd say that they were pretty sort of 99.9% chance. We've got William Fox Pitt coming. I call him Mr. Bramham because he's won with us six times. Mm. He's actually distantly related to the Lane Foxes, our hosts at Bramham. And also we've got Zara Phillips is coming back to Bramham. She hasn't been with us for a few years, but with her Olympic or potential Olympic horse High Kingdom, she's hoping that a good position might just help her on the way to a place for the Olympics.
Well, she carried the Olympic flame, of course, and being such a passionate follower of the royal family, Natalie's already, her jaw has dropped with excitement there.
will Zara be there on Sunday?
She will, yep, she'll be going cross-country on Sunday.
I'm so excited.
and we haven't even talked about the shopping experience, the retail therapy that you can actually do as well with all sorts of other scenarios from that point of view.
Retail? So,
yeah, exactly. It's just a whole delightful experience. Chris, any questions that you've got for Winnie about the Bramham International Horse Trials? I keep saying Bramham International Horse Trials. Do we just say Bramham Horse Trials, Winnie?
You can just say Bramham. I mean, technically, if we're being really good and proper, we should call it the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials. But just Bramham or Bramham Horse Trials will do for now.
That's quite right.
Winnie, I've passed, obviously, Bramham just off the A1, isn't it? Near Weatherby many, many times. How many years has the event been going now?
This will be our 38th year. It's been a long sort of fixture in the calendar, one of our longest three-day events. It's really grown. I mean, I've been involved for 6 years now, and even in such a short space of time, it's just almost doubled in size. The first time I did it, I think we had about, there were about 80 shops. This year we've got 137, I think it comes out at. The horses, the entries that we can take are bigger and better. The jumping classes, I mean, Bramham we call it a horse trials, but it actually, I mean, I call it an equine extravaganza. There is something for everybody. There's not just the eventing, there's show jumping, showing classes, pony club mounted games, just about everything you can do with a horse.
And with it being sort of over the Jubilee weekend, I'm guessing it's got an extra sort of...
No, it's next. It's not this weekend.
Oh, sorry,
it's
not
the week
weekend,
after.
The week
exactly.
Gives
you
time.
We like to build ahead. Teaser campaigns. If it was the day before, we'd like the local BBC station. We like to look ahead to these things.
Sorry.
Just have to put it right, Winnie, every so often. These former BBC Lincolnshire athletics commentators, they run their companies superbly, but please,
I think, to be honest, I think the wave of the whole sort of Jubilee and looking forward to the Olympics, I think that momentum will certainly still be at Bramham. I don't think we'll have lost that.
It'll be good, be fantastic, and it'll be worthwhile, Hannah, getting up at 7 a.m. to leave Lincoln for the actual event itself, won't it?
Oh, yes, of course.
There we are. Exactly. But a reminder, the web address is bramham-horse.co.uk. You can find all the tickets, presumably. Are they still available online?
All the pre-tickets have sold because we're just worried we wouldn't make it to you with the post.
Quite right.
The bank holidays, but you can always buy a ticket on the gate.
There we are. Fantastic stuff. As I said, on the website, the box office is now closed, but Tay tickets and limited camping tickets are available on the day itself, on the gate. It's wonderful stuff. Right, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today? Winnie Murphy, press officer extraordinaire. Other press officers like Julian Seaman and company may try at Bamington, but they still sort of admire the skill that you bring to the whole notion, Winnie. Have you enjoyed the whole experience?
I have. I always do enjoy my chats with you.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again, probably at Bramham?
Yep. Great.
There we are. Winnie Murphy will be back on stream and a whole heap of other goodies as well. Time for ELO.
Oh, Check out the online interviews, audio postcards, and more from the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Quite right, too. Okay, ladies, the judging is now pretty much taking place. I think I have two out of the three judges are there. No sign of Joy Knight?
No, where is she?
She sent me an email saying she's all looking forward to the cake scenario. She's got, never mind. But Carolyn and Chris are currently doing it. Just they're in discussion at present, basically, so who knows what's actually happening. How do you feel, Natasha?
Excited and nervous.
Tiffany's so nervous she's had to leave to go and work out of the gym. So, Hannah, what's your own scenario?
Feeling pretty nervous because my cake baking didn't go as well as I wanted it to.
They all looked lovely, absolutely wonderful. It was all great, etc. Amy?
This is all getting very serious.
Well.
Can you hear us in the other room?
I'm feeling the pressure now. I'm feeling the pressure.
Just very excited. Can they hear it? It's radio. As long as the thing's tuned up, they could. That's the idea, really. That's the beauty of the whole system.
We can't discuss our cakes now, then.
No, you will. Natalie?
I've got some serious competition, you
quietly confident in the whole thing. Well, all being well, we'll be connecting with William Sitwell in a few seconds. He is currently sort of just going to voicemail, which is fair enough. I mean, if you're going to go to voicemail, why not actually do this? It's time to just to bring the level of relaxing down a wee bit in all sorts of ways, because we haven't even had a chance to actually do any John Wenham announcements, etc. So let's have a little touch of PC.
So I came to see her, to listen for a while. And there she was, this young girl, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with her fingers, singing my life with her words, killing me softly with her song, killing me softly with her song, telling my whole life with her words, killing me softly with her song. I felt all flushed with fever, embarrassed by the crowd. I felt she found my letters and read each one aloud. I prayed that she would finish, but she just kept right on, strumming my pain with her fingers, singing my life with her words, killing me softly with her song.
Now, I know that there are folk who might well say, oh, yes, Perry Como, killing me softly with her cake. No, nothing could be further from the truth, because the judges, thankfully, have not keeled over yet. So good news as far as that's concerned. But the excitement continues to mount, because we said this is a winner-takes-all scenario. Not only does the prize winner of today's first official siren break-off effectively have the delights of an autograph autographed Jessica Freck CD, an autographed Jessica Freck piece of Nashville country news, two Ian Lennox autographed books, a family pass to the Great Yorkshire Show for 2012, a family pass for four Creme de la Creme, of course, the copy of A History of the World in 100 Recipes autographed by the legend that is William Sitwell, who's got an even more exciting reveal in a few seconds' time. William, the tension in the studio is quite literally tangible.
I can feel it. I can feel it down the line.
Yeah.
Crackling.
It's true. I don't know. Tiffany's found it so exciting she's had to leave to join a gym at present, really. But we still have Amy and Natalie and Hannah and Natasha in here. Natasha, who, despite the fact she's been in communication with a Heston Blumenthal trained chef, Aaron Craig, via Facebook friends, etc., was very upset that Natalie had taken the opportunity last night to have a trial tasting whilst these things were sorted through with that. Whom do you wish to have a brief chat with, William, about the sort of tension they're feeling about the cakes?
I think a brief word from everyone who's taking part, really. I mean, it's not an easy thing, is it? Cake baking at this time of day, you know, to start having to prepare your recipes at dawn, get your oven turned on as the light, you know, comes up above the Lincoln horizon.
It didn't happen, Natasha. Why did? Why
did you try to tell me you did them last night?
Yeah. No, I did it yesterday day. I have no time to bake cakes in the evening. I had work last evening, so I baked my cake during the day, and then when I came home at 2, I iced it.
Right, so it's nicely stale.
Well, so far...
My cake is not stale.
Steady, William, you don't want to start up this... It's been very, very tense throughout the whole thing. Amy, talk because you literally claim you just thrown these ingredients together from what you could recover after you'd handed your fish away.
Yes, I'm feeling the tension now. I don't bake cakes. Like, I make crumbles and pies, and I made, like, a pear tart the other day, and... Like things like that, but obviously I don't bake cakes.
It's going well, William, as you can tell.
So you know? I don't have a pre-recipe for this. This is only the second time I've ever made this. So
you're like people who don't. You're a sort of you're cake total. You're like a teetotal. You've fallen off the wagon of cake.
I don't know, I've made this a couple times. Well, this is the second time, but
okay.
Yes, I'm much more of a crumble and pie person.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you see, you can throw crumbles and pies together. Cake baking is a science. You have to follow recipes.
Yeah, I still went for the throwing it together though.
We will be posting and indeed sending you the recipes so you can actually sort of cast these whole things because I know we've got this wonderful reveal in a few seconds. But Hannah, share with William the excitement because you had the disaster, as we said earlier in the show, of finding that a well-known supermarket had run out of icing sugar.
Yeah, it was just one disaster after another, really, with the baking of these. I couldn't find a recipe I wanted to make at first. And then I found one, and I didn't have half the ingredients. So I had to go to Morrison's in this instance, but it could have been another supermarket.
Why not Waitrose?
I can't walk to Waitrose.
Too far away. So it's just up the hill in Lincoln, you know, easily sort of there. Shameless plug there. Carry on.
And then I lost part of my entry.
Oh, dear.
Which I spent all morning looking for.
How did you lose part of your...
I think that someone who will remain unnamed in my flat possibly moved it.
Oh, dear.
Sabotage.
Into their stomach. Moved.
Did they move it into their mouth?
No, moved it. I found it again.
Oh, I see. So you live with people who move ingredients around your mind.
I know. It's absolutely bizarre, but then they also put newspaper and milk cartons all over my room, so what can you really do?
I just think undergraduate life is a whole different world these days. You know, whatever. Natalie,
I know that in my day, you know, we weren't that crazy of putting newspaper into milk cartons. I mean, you know, you're really pushing the outrageous envelope.
No, they spread, like, newspapers and, like, empty milk cartons all over my room. Like, just my... I went into my room and my room was covered in newspaper.
That's happened to me before as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure you haven't been burgled.
Mine was when they put my stuff up on top of a thing and then took the ladder away so I couldn't get to any of my stuff.
Yeah. You're listening to Siren 7.3 FM's Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Share your pain morning set up for us. Natalie, your own little tale, because you say you have to. I think of all the five entrants into this first Cake Off challenge, you've certainly taken it the most seriously.
I have taken it quite seriously, and I tried a new technique last night. Yes,
new technique.
Mm. Mm. Yes. Well, William, before we find out what Natalie's new technique for cake baking might or might not have actually been, shall we reveal that officially sanctioned new Jubilee dish?
Yes, I can tell you about it. Mm. Would you like me to go ahead?
What do we say, ladies?
Yes. Yes.
Well, look, what I've done is I've assembled a panel of some of the UK's top chefs and cooks, and we met back in March and to invent a dish that we thought was fitting to mark the Diamond Jubilee, but also tasty and something that families can share and something that's every bit as delicious, if not more tasty than coronation chicken, a dish to rival coronation chicken. So I got together Jeremy Lee, who's the head chef of Quo Vadis, fantastic restaurant in Soho, Jason Atherton, who runs the acclaimed Pollen Street Social, Allegra McEverty, who's one of the nation's top food writers, and Fiona Cairns, who, of course, is the cake maker to royalty. She produced the cake for the royal wedding for Prince William and Catherine Middleton last year. And we sat in the restaurant Quo Vadis for many hours last March and devised a dish. And there was a lot of conversation about sort of historical dishes and ingredients. And we finally settled on using salmon, because we thought that was a really fantastic English, sort of British ingredient, very famous for the British Isles, wonderful salmon. And we thought then we would come up with the idea of putting it in some sort of a pie. So what we've come up with is a dish called Jubilee Salmon. And what it is two whole fillets of salmon, two whole sides of salmon, which you can buy from a Waitrose fish counter. And actually, because they're so excited about this dish, they put it on special offer from today, and they're stockpiling it for the nation. And in between, so basically you have two sides of salmon filled with a mixture of crushed peas, spring onions, fresh ginger, lemon, and some herbs, which include dill. And you whiz all that up, and then so you've got a sort of salmon sandwich, and you put that in two sides of puff pastry, which you crimp around the edges, so you've got this lovely pie, and you put it in the oven for about 25 to 30 minutes, and then you cut it open. So it's a bit like a sort of beef Wellington in a way, but it's a sort of salmon Wellington, but it's Jubilee salmon, and it's fresh, delicious, golden, and I think that, you know, the nation's going to love it. And I've cooked it about 8 or 9 times.
The cheers, the crowds, the nation is quite literally rejoicing there, William. Again, you know, a sort of salmon. What's the official title that we're giving
Jubilee
this?
Jubilee Salmon.
Jubilee Salmon. I can see them leaping back to spawn just for the success of the whole notion of Jubilee Salmon.
Exactly.
That's just from the base of what we're. Natalie, Jubilee Salmon, will that be?
Yeah, sounds good, yeah.
Amy?
Yeah, definitely sounds lovely.
Hannah?
Can I say that if you want to get the recipe, we've made a video of it on YouTube. If you go to waitrose.com/Jubilee Salmon, you can watch me making this dish.
Is it easy
from
to make?
Today. Very easy today. Very easy indeed. Really easy prep. Because you can get buy your puff pastry ready-made, ready rolled even, and you roll it out to about 25 by 40 centimetres. You lay your salmon fillets on top, you put the mixture in between, you lay another fillet on top of that, and then you lay another layer of pastry on top, and you crimp around the edges to make a pie. And you bung it in the oven. And we've also made a little dressing, which is chopped hard-boiled eggs, capers, English mustard, a few herbs, and white wine vinegar. It's the icing on the cake that is Jubilee Salmon.
That's just wonderful. William, I feel as though we really need to sort of find out now how the judges are actually going. Natasha, would you like to find out what stage the judges are actually at? Because it would be nice to actually have the reveal of the winning scenario here. Obviously, no Jubilee Salmon at this particular year, but who knows next year once they follow the instructions. Once again, go to YouTube, waitrose.com/Jubilee Salmon. Ingredients are actually there. You can see the wonderful sort of William Sitwell actually making these kind of things from that perspective, etc. Well, there's no responses yet. They're obviously still in discussion debate here. What is the official... has the white smoke started as yet? What's the scenario, Natasha?
They have a piece of paper with a scoring panel. It will be 3 or 4 minutes deciding.
3 or 4 minutes decides. Tough call,
oh,
you know. It's,
they are literally tasting... scoring.
Yeah, we take it very seriously.
Serious.
I mean, William, I don't know if you've got any views on the sort of notion of the judges scoring and tasting these kind of things here, but, you know...
I've never been so tense.
This is hilarious.
This is making
me feel so judging food, you've just got to be honest. you've got to be honest. You've got to just say it like it is.
It's like the Great British Bake Off, isn't it?
Yeah, I was judging. I was on. We were filming MasterChef on Tuesday for the MasterChef for the professionals, which comes out in October. So, you know, I'm in the judging vein this week.
This is good. You see, clearly next year we're going to have to get the helicopter out, fly you up to Lincoln to actually do the whole piece, and then back again to London and get it processed from that sort of point of view.
I would love to come and visit your little village.
Well, exactly. It's always crucial to work our way through that. So the last two questions, that we're bringing Malcolm Tomlinson, our horse racing commentator, the Grand National for Five Live, amongst other things, to reveal the whole thing. But Natalie, would you like to throw those last two questions to the creator, co-creator of the fabulous Jubilee Salmon? Presumably, actually, we'll hold fire, because what we can say, William, is will you personally dedicate the autographed copy of History of the World in 100 Recipes to the winner once we've actually decided? I'll send you
an email. When are we going to find out the winner?
We'll find out before the end of the show today.
3 minutes.
Okay,
yes. So I should be able to email you the relevant details, you know, with that. So it's all very immediate and all those other things. Naturally, last two questions.
William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us this morning?
My telephonic interaction with you has reached new heights. I'm literally perspiring with excitement. It's been grand.
So can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
I hope that we are on a permanent connection.
William Sitwell will return sort of post-Jubilee, but as we've heard from our Bramham Horse Trials, our Bramham International Horse Trials person, the spirit of the Jubilee will continue along into the International Horse Trials and beyond.
Lambeth, you've never seen. The skies ain't blue, the grass it ain't green. It hasn't got the Mayfair touch, but, well, it don't matter very much. We play it.
Hey, any time you'll ever play, any evening, any day.
A bit of Jubilee celebrations in all sorts of ways. Isn't that right, Malcolm Tomlinson?
Absolutely right, Alex. You've got to get in the spirit.
Don't forget, of course, with respect to the excitement of Coronation Street, directed by, of course, our ACE award-winning, BAFTA award-winning director, Graham Harper. There's a special Coronation Street party as well, and that's why we thought it was only right that we got...
He's a top racehorse commentator, a fine actor, an all-round good egg. It's Malcolm Tomlinson on the Midweek Drive.
Because you deserve your own jingle, Malcolm, after all these years.
Well, yeah. I'm very impressed.
Well, it was very, very crucial that sort of came through on that particular area, etc. And just in case you want to have that action replay...
He's a top racehorse commentator, a fine actor, an all-round good egg. It's Malcolm Tomlinson on the Midweek Drive.
Well, that is splendid. That's made my morning.
Well, there you are, you see. Happiness in all sorts of ways. One of a group of five individuals is going to be ready. Chris Ilsley from Running In Productions is going to come into the studio. Chris, and we've got Caroline Williams as well. We hopefully will have a word with a whole range of folk here. The judging for the cake-off, the first ever official Midweek Drive Morning Edition cake-off, has actually concluded. The white smoke has actually risen, etc., from that point of view. Caroline, let's come to you first from this particular area, because I think it's only right. So, Hannah, if we swap over seats from that point, we'll wheel in from that perspective. No sign of Joy Knight, obviously, Chris.
No.
That's very strange, actually, Joy liking cake. So come a bit closer to the microphone scenario here, Caroline, because obviously your official title with the university, it changes basically. Caroline, Malcolm, and dear listener, is the rock on which the research package of the university rests. Without Caroline, it's useless. We go completely crazy about the whole thing, etc. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
When I put the original request out for judges for this whole setup, etc., invited you, very quick to respond, say yes, delighted to do so.
Absolutely.
How did the whole sort of thing strike you this morning?
We thought that all of the entries were it was really hard to judge, basically. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of effort that gone into all of them, and each of them, because we had to, we decided we would categorise it essentially, appearance, the cut. The texture, and then lightness and moistness. So we divide it into categories.
Five categories. Slices.
It was actually quite a tough competition, I have to say. Okay. And then we sort of judged it on very good, good, or nice, because none of them dropped below nice for anything.
We wouldn't have them on the show if they were less than nice. I mean, absolutely. You know, Caroline, you've listened to the show for how many years now? You know, it's
quite a few, actually.
There we are. So there you go, exactly.
And there was one cake which stood out above all of the others in all of the categories, and it was a very clear winner, I have to say.
We'll hold fire on that for a moment. Malcolm, any questions you want to put to Caroline or indeed Chris Ainsley? obviously director of Running Imp Productions, amongst our heaps of goodie stuff, etc., about this, because you were very close to actually getting the invite yourself to sort of come down and be a judge as well, really. So.
Well, do you know, for a horrible split second, Alex, I thought you were going to phone me up and ask me to judge it down the airwaves, yeah. Which would have been a little bit tricky, wouldn't
it? It's surreal, really. We found that with William Sitwell, actually. You know, that's a reminder, of course, that the winner receives a family ticket for four for the Great Yorkshire Show.
Ooh.
A personally autographed copy of William Sitwell's book, A History of the World in 100 Recipes, by BBC Two's very own question of taste gastronomic expert, and so on. Two Ian Lennox books, The Brothers and The 60s Man, autographed, as well as a autographed album from Jessica Freck, our Nashville singing sensation, and indeed a copy of Nashville Scene, etc. So
some
exciting.
Very worthy prizes.
It's a winner takes all situation.
And how many entrants were there, Caroline?
There were five.
Five. Mm. And were they sort of students, or were they professional people from Lincoln, or who are these five?
To be honest, the bakers are totally anonymous and unknown to me, so I haven't got a clue.
We thought it was very crucial that the anonymity was maintained across the base, really, Malcolm. But, you know, for reasons that were sort of there, but you know, it's obviously open for all sorts of people to actually there. But this might give you a little clue in terms of some of the entrants, at least.
Natalie Tuck, Jodie Orton, Amy Elise, Natasha Turney, the finest co-presenters, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is delighted to feature. Sometimes all on the one show.
Almost all on the one show from that point of view. Of course, well, Hannah O'Brien also being on board the team, etc. I give name checks, roll of honour, really, to Natasha Turley, Hannah O'Brien, Amy Elise, Tiffany Freeman, and Natalie Tuck, all of whom took this very, very seriously. Chris, I mean, I think Natalie's going to actually sort of burst with excitement at this particular stage.
It was really interesting, and I thought we got the five categories right, and we sort of discussed it and we all agreed, and, you know, first of all on sort of looks and presentation, but then it might look absolutely fantastic. They all look fantastic, but it might have looked fantastic, and, well, one had the edge in either the cut or the taste or the texture. And so we sort of went through the various five categories, and we sort of did the very good, good and nice, as Caroline said. And there was one clear winner, which we'll move on to very shortly. Mm-hmm. And
did you get to taste them, Chris?
Oh, yes. Ooh. Oh, yeah, everyone. More than once as well. We had to taste, you know, apart from the cut and the appearance, the rest of them, we tasted them three times. Yeah.
And is there anything left of the winning cake?
There is some left. Okay. I don't know how long.
Jodie Orton needs to obviously sort of have this back to the office.
Absolutely.
Really, so
and then once we'd done that, we thought, well, we're not going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because they're all very good. But we thought it was important to have a runner-up. Oh. And so we gave 3 points for those who we judged are very good, 2 points to good and 1 point for nice. And, and it was very close. The second place was actually very, very close.
Oh, so shall we do the sort of the reverse order then? As we
shall we get Ian? Can Ian bring them in? Or shall I bring them in?
As the founder, technically, yeah, Andrew David isn't around. Yeah, but bring them in. Yes, bring them in.
You'll see who they are.
Ian will bring them in. This is wonderful. This is radio at its finest, Malcolm.
This is fantastic. It's not going to end in a cake fight, is it?
Oh, no, please.
You're not going to get pied, are you?
Don't go home. Keystone cops on me because this is a whole setup, etc.
I've just got a mental image of you scraping cream from one of your eyes as you finish the broadcast.
As you know, Malcolm, grace under pressure. How many murder mysteries have we done together where we've actually had to cope with that kind of scenario,
well,
etc.?
Exactly.
Yes. Well, there's an entry into the studio now. So talk us through this, Chris. It's time to actually sort of work through your commentary last time on the Great North Run, now on the cake scenario. What have we got here?
Well, the first contestant number one was of take. It's a sponge cake and a take on the Union flag, the Union Jack. Mm-hmm. And the reds are made out of strawberries. Mm-hmm. And the blue part of the flag is in berries, which look very nice. Mm-hmm. Then we have number two, mm-hmm. which is in second place.
Yes, yes.
Is the brownies.
The brownies. Is Amy Elise has made second place. Congratulations.
Who said you can't just throw it together?
and that was, you know, that was...
Congratulations, Amy.
Very commendable, very second, close
second place.
Second place
into this,
And
yes.
then we've got a chocolate sponge cake, which is decorated totally in milk chocolate with cream in the middle and white chocolate. And then the winner, the winner is Carolyn. Would you like to describe this? Because this was by far the best of the entrants. And I don't know whose it was. We don't know whose it
Carolyn.
Was.
Yeah, again, it's another sponge cake with a cream topping and a cream layer in the middle and sort of chocolatey shavings on the top. But the thing about this cake is that every single category we judged it in, it came out as very good, and we couldn't drop it below that. If I was a professional cake buyer and I was looking to put a cake in my own shop, that would go in. Yeah, absolutely. Big round of applause. In every way, it cuts so delightfully. Mm. It makes you want to tear it apart with your fingers rather than slice it with a knife. And once you taste it, it's a melt-in-your-mouth treat.
Are we teasing you, Malcolm?
Oh, God, I'm absolutely fabulous now. I want a cup of Earl Grey tea and a huge slice of that cake.
But we should also comment on the little buns at the end, which we found absolutely charming. The little buns at the end, the little tray of buns there. We thought, you know, any child coming along and seeing those we could just
icky, icky little buns.
Squash them in their mouths.
They tasted delicious as well. They were very good.
They were very good. But it was extremely difficult. I mean, to be honest with you, the brownies got second place because we thought they're everything brownies should be. They look like they've just come out of the oven. They look a little slightly overdone, but so munchy and everything. But all of the cakes, it was so. I mean, the second place pipped any of the other entries, and it was so tight for second place.
So, second place, Ray. First place, of course, goes to.
Well, it goes to. I don't know who's. It's
That's
your cake.
Is
it?
Natasha Turney has actually won.
Congratulations. We didn't know.
Would you like to know what's in it now?
Yes, please.
Well, it's meant to be a chocolate coffee cake with peanut butter icing.
A very thick peanut butter icing.
But it doesn't have any butter or eggs in.
Ah.
It's got vinegar and soda.
Well, I tell you what, you wouldn't know that to taste it.
And
would
salt.
You? You would not know that.
Does that make it healthier, Natasha?
No, it makes it... Because the vinegar reacts with the soda, so it rises.
Right.
Better, and so it's lighter and it's not heavy with the butter.
Whoa, is this a technique you
this
always
is science.
Use?
Well, I think everybody's a winner, actually, for that.
No,
well
they
done
were.
To all that sort of thing. So we can have the full presentations, as I say, of the material we've actually got, because obviously you'll get a personalised dedication there. We did say it as winner takes all, so there's a whole... The first phase of your sort of awards coming through there, Jessica Fresco, I think. Don't have time to actually have a wrap-up in this particular routine. The final quotes today will be Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake, understandably reasons. Chris, thank you for taking part in the whole thing. Have you
thank
enjoyed
you,
the
it's
sequence
been
of that?
Absolutely fantastic today. Thank
Carolyn
you.
Williams, have you enjoyed the whole sequence?
Yes, absolutely. It's been great fun. Thank you very much.
Coming back again for a proper show soon.
Maybe.
Yeah, sort of through with that. Amy Elise, thank you. Second place.
Yes.
Happy from that point of view. Hannah, wonderful. And Ara is there. But you're responsible for the little bee?
Responsible for the buns.
And Natasha, a wonderful success there. Natalie, once again, tremendous, really. Great stuff there. Success and happiness all around. Thanks to Jane Clark, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Belinda Wannis, Aaron Craig, William Sitwell, Winnie Murphy, and of course your good self, Malcolm. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat?
It's been fascinating this morning, Alex. Thank you. I'm going to get my running shoes on and sprint down to the baker's now and see if I can find anything that resembles that stunning cake.
And you do realise that Natalie and Tiffany and company are still waiting to actually touch base with your good self and of course daughter Eleanor again in the very near future. So
we'll look forward to that.
Great
That'll
stuff
be good.
For that. Yeah, you will be coming down to Lincoln again before too long. There's no time to actually get to the news with music. I mean, we could hum something, I suppose, for the 40-odd seconds that's actually there. But, you know, it's just if you are having a Jubilee weekend, enjoy it. Everybody's having a Jubilee. It's a Diamond Jubilee weekend. So what are you doing, Carolyn, for the Diamond Jubilee?
Well, I'm having my own little Jubilee tea, but just for my family.
Well, there we are. Excellent. Chris?
We're having a party, a get-together for all the workers at work with a Jubilee beacon on Monday evening.
Jodie will, of course, get some samples of cakes as well. Yeah. Just be working through on that.
With a hog roast.
Splendid. And Malcolm?
Commentating at Red Car Races.
Oh, what better place to be? Fantastic. You know, we should actually hook up with that. Actually, we will speak because it's time we actually joined you in the commentary box before too long. It's time for the news for the Sky News Centre. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye!